Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
Good to talk to you. What do you think about Nancy's little visit here to St. Louis?
Is she gone?
I think so.
Oh, good.
She didn't let me know. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi is going to be eager to lead a charge of impeachment against the president, or do you buy what she said, that President Trump's not worth it?
Well, you know, I think that she, like many of these other liberals, have reached the conclusion that they're not going to have what they need from Mueller, and these other investigations they've launched are just fluff for 2020, I think. So it's just, I think it's cover. I don't think they really have any interest in starting impeachment, because she's learned the lesson of history, and she knows the Republicans suffered when they tried it with Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, people need to pay attention to what happened in the 1990s, because the effort to impeach Clinton was on almost like an ancillary detail where he did something that was wrong, but it wasn't really at the heart of the issue of what the Republicans were trying to do. And the American people, I guess they just got sick of it. They weren't interested in going that far down the road with Republicans. And as I understand, the Republicans paid for it.
They did pay for it in the midterms. You know, the Democrats have shifted their attention to 2020, as you can tell from Beto and Elizabeth coming out this weekend with their speeches and calling for what did Elizabeth Warren call for yesterday? She wants to end the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bear in mind, she was supposedly a law professor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. This is her talking about that.
Yeah.
Hold on a second here.
Presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and
Mark, Tony is shaking his head in disgust at me. What do you think when you hear
that this issue is just a hot button for me? It just makes me so mad when, especially when she says politicians don't come to Mississippi. Well, guess what? If you get rid of the Electoral College, they're for sure not coming to Mississippi.
They would never come to Mississippi.
Jeez.
or Missouri or any other small state in the
right.
country. Yeah, the most infuriating thing about it is her belief somehow that she's smarter than the founders of this country who realized full well that the power centers of America, the population centers, I should say, of America, particularly when the country was founded, there was a serious concern about whether or not the states would remain united. And she knew the minute one of them felt like their voice was not being heard in Washington, that's what would happen. They would start to splinter. So to avoid that, they made sure that every state got represented in elections for president. They did it for a reason, and it's even more valid today when you've got cities like New York and Los Angeles that equal, you know, twice the population of the entire state of Missouri.
Isn't it important to remember that we are the United States of America, that states' rights have a very important role in how we do government here? I mean, if you want to federalize everything, you want to talk about consolidating an enormous amount of power away from the American people into a governing body. That's the way to do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And, you know, as a representative republic, this has worked very well for us. We have direct elections for Congress, local elections where people in small districts are allowed to represent people who elect people who represent them. That works. But on a national level, that would never work.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, you know, there's no way constitutionally they can do it. So about 11 states, maybe, I may be wrong on that number, state legislators have passed rules now to try to give all of their electors to whoever wins the popular vote. They're not going to be able to pull that off. It's not going to be constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be enough of them, and there aren't enough of those states to try to pass it as an amendment to the Constitution.
But, Mark, to your point, it's crazy. You're right. It's like 11, 12, 13, something like that, number of states that in one body or another within that state, whether it be that state's House or that state's Senate, has passed this resolution to give all their electoral college votes to the winner of the national election. And some of those states are tiny states. Vermont is one of them. I'm pretty sure Colorado is one of them. I think Rhode Island is even one of them. It's like people are just giving away any power that they have in the presidential election. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, you know, clearly Trump derangement syndrome is real, and it's alive and well and embodied in Elizabeth Warren last night, because the only reason they're talking about this is that they started this movement right after Al Gore lost the presidency to George W. Bush, and then it kind of lost steam, and then it gets back full bore now after the last Clinton Trump election, and it, in this case, it's fueled by their hatred for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it certainly is. I want to play this clip for you real quick and get a quick reaction for you. The president was speaking today from the White House, and it was got an opportunity to speak on John McCain.
Why are you attacking Senator John McCain 7 months after his death?
I'm very unhappy that he didn't repeal and replace Obamacare, as you know. He campaigned on repealing and replacing Obamacare for years, and then he got to a vote, and he said thumbs down, and our country would have saved $1 trillion, and we would have had great health care. So he campaigned. He told us hours before that he was going to repeal and replace. And then for some reason, I think I understand the reason, he ended up going thumbs up. And frankly, had we even known that, I think we would have gotten a vote because we could have gotten somebody else. So I think that's disgraceful. Plus, there are other things. I was never a fan of John McCain, and I never will be. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much. Tip your waitresses. I mean, it's for him to come out and continue to talk about John McCain. A lot of people are saying that John McCain is dead and he was a war hero. You can't talk about him in a negative way at all. But we are finding out that John McCain was not a supporter of this president, not only verbally, but also on background. What's your reaction to the president speaking about John McCain there and what we know now about the senator?
Well, you know, McCain and his supporters, they can't have it both ways. John McCain was a war hero, and I honor John McCain for his service to this country, and I always will. As a politician, he did a lot of things I didn't agree with when he was the presidential candidate for the Republicans. I supported him and I voted for him because he was better than the alternative. But he and Donald Trump were at each other's throat from the beginning of this. I mean, a lot of it had to do with ego, I think, on the part of both of them. Michelle Malkin got in a lot of trouble at CPAC for referring to the ghost of John McCain and blaming him along with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and some others for not dealing with immigration and health care when they still had control of Congress. You know, I wish the president would leave it alone, but I'm not so sure he's the one that brought McCain up this last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is, it's not something that people can, you know, invoke the spirit of John McCain to slam the president and expect him not to punch back. I mean, that's what this president does.
Right. No, he does, and he's done it successfully. You know, in fact, this morning I played a bite from Jeb! Exclamation point.
No energy, Jeb.
And, you know, Jeb now wants somebody to primary the president. Well, of course Jeb does. But Jeb says he just wants to warn people it's very difficult to beat an incumbent president. Well, guess what, Jeb? You couldn't beat Donald Trump when he wasn't the incumbent, when he was just a candidate just like you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why he thinks a weak-kneed, middle-of-the-road, spineless Republican is going to be able to beat Donald Trump now fascinates me.
Do you think anyone's actually going to challenge him?
I do.
You do. Mm-hmm. Who do you expect it to be?
I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody jump in. I mean,
Kasich. He's delusional.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean,
maybe Kasich. There's bound to be somebody who's gonna who's going to try. So Evan McMullen or McMuffin or whatever his name is from Utah. Somebody's going to try.
Yeah.
Just
Jeff Flake
again,
has already said he's not, Mark, so yeah, we don't have to worry about that, thank goodness.
Who isn't?
Jeff Flake.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good. Well, somebody will do it just to try to raise their personal profile for writing a book or something. They know they have no chance.
You know, I brought this up yesterday about Jeb saying that. People don't remember, George W. Bush was caught off guard by Pat Buchanan when he was primaried, and some people have, historians have said that that got that whole campaign off on the wrong foot because he had to focus on Buchanan to get rid of him before he could focus on Clinton. It had a lot to do with why he lost that second race. So for Jeb Bush, whose dad lost after somebody primaried him, and people said that that was a big part of it, to say that a president needs to be primaried because Americans need choice is laughable to me.
Well, in that particular case, it was a little bit different because George H.W. Bush was always a moderate East Coast Republican, and Buchanan was trying to pull him back toward the conservative side a little more in that primary election. Then, of course, Ross Perot played a big role in the outcome, I think.
For sure.
Who knows? It could be this Starbucks CEO who plays a big role in this race if he ends up running.
Yeah. Well, we will see. We'll be covering every minute of the way. It's so far away, but we are going to be talking about it every day. There's always something new to talk about. Mark Cox, thanks for coming on today. Always love talking to you.
Annie, Tony, see ya.
Yep. See ya in the morning, 5 a.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.